You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. In Grand Rapids, there's a new PAC, a political action committee. PACs are formed all the time by politicians, industry groups, and others to raise money for candidates. A group of concerned citizens, grassroots-level folks, decided if they were going to have any voice in government and policy, they needed a PAC too. Joining me are now our Equity PAC board members, Jeremy Moore and Danavia Moje. What prompted this idea?
Well, you know, it actually started about a little bit over a year ago, Lester, in December of 2015. The city commission here in Grand Rapids had voted on allowing for long rifles to be in different police cars, in the GRPD police cars. And that was something that there was some promise around having some sort of community or public discussion on this issue for several years. And the issue was is that this was voted on without any kind of public engagement. And there was a lot of concern, in particular in communities of color, that crime had been going down for nationally and at a local level for 20, 30 years pretty consistently. And there was confusion as to why there needed to be kind of a buildup of arms with the Grand Rapids Police Department. And what we found was that we just were sick of going to politicians with their hats in our hand asking for them to listen. And so we said, you know, I think we can start our own political action committee that's going to be able to try to advance more equitable policy and put more equitable candidates in place.
Why go this route rather than simply creating an activist or advocacy organization?
Well, you know, actually we're both. We don't think we're going to win the money game, but we do think we can win the people game. So part of what we do is we need to be able to not only fundraise to be able to contribute to campaigns, but also we mobilize time as well. So last October, leading up to the election, we had endorsed 8 different candidates. And we, in October, mobilized 300 hours to go out from our PAC, and this is early on, we mobilized 300 hours from our PAC of people to go out and knock on doors to be able to canvass for them. Not only are we going to be doing canvassing, now we're adapting issues and actually funding organizing through the PAC so that we can address things like police reform, immigration justice, affordable housing, and in particular, we just launched diversity of governance.
I definitely echo his sentiment. I think for us, we recognize that a PAC is uniquely a fundraising tool. And when you want to move the needle, a lot of times you do have to write a check. That's what appeals to a lot of candidates, not only the ability to fund their campaign, but also to have people that will come behind them and canvass. And so we decided we had to do both.
So you've talked about people, you've talked about money. How many people are involved with Equity PAC?
Right now, we have a little over 170 individuals. We kind of set these goals for ourselves in the beginning, like, you know, it'd be really nice to try and get 200 members by the end of 2017. And, you know, since we've been having meetings and really being out in the community, what we found is that there was a much greater response to this than we had originally anticipated. It's like we're going to knock that goal out the park because we have a lot of people that have joined our email list, that have donated to our PAC, and have just really been passionate about advancing equity in the community. And so what that's looked like is we have people that are making calls, doing phone banking. We have drop-in meetings where people can come and talk to police officers and they can come talk to candidates that they've endorsed and people show up. And it's just been extraordinary.
So there's the people side. What about the money side?
We've definitely leveraged a lot of money as well, which is nice. We're looking at over $20,000 raised right now, which is really exciting for us. I think originally it was like maybe 5 of us at the end of March that said, hey, let's just start asking people know for money.
We're going to start texting people and seeing if they'll give to this.
Let's just see who could give to this. And through November, I'd say we raised around $12,000. But right after the election, we had an even broader response in terms of fundraising, people that were seeing how serious this work was and how important it was to become a part of this. And that's been incredible.
Who's giving? Who's the typical person, typical donor to the PAC?
You know, it's everyone. And to be completely honest, I was trying to explain this to my mother, too. I'm like, you know, we had a meeting at Equity Drinks and we said, hey, we want to, by the time we leave this room, we want to raise $5,000. And people put out their phones. There were college students that walked up to the Equity PAC table and took the change out of their pockets and handed it to us and said, whatever it takes, we want to give. I think that's what's been incredible. It's everybody. It's not just a particular person, but we've seen a lot of progressives. We've seen a lot of working class individuals. But what we hope as we grow and expand is to actively kind of recruit a more the average Joe, like me. I'm a full-time college student, a single mother, and I think people just like me can come to Equity PAC and give whatever they've got.
We also value time and money equally. So for people who can't give money necessarily, the membership is $50 or you pledge 10 hours to put towards, you know, whatever issues that you're interested in within the PAC. So we value those things equally, and we really feel that creates an equitable framework for membership.
And we have members that do both, quite frankly. And then when we say, hey, we'd love for you to pledge some volunteer hours, they will pledge above the 10, which is just the minimum. And I think that's the wonderful response that we've gotten all over.
Before I go to my next question, equity drinks. What is that? How often is that held?
Yeah, so Equity Drinks was this once-a-month forum where people could come together and talk about issues in the community, concerns, and sometimes it featured different speakers, but it typically happened at a bar or a place where people could buy drinks, and essentially you'd get a drink and talk about equity. That created a really awesome space here in Grand Rapids for people to kind of start having these conversations. But what we learned is that here in Grand Rapids, people are very comfortable having the conversation. The problem comes with when you're trying to actually move the needle politically, you got to stop talking about how frustrating it is and actually do more. And the PAC was, you know, that activist arm, that ability to actually, you know, impact change, politically speaking.
It sounds like you're approaching people who really haven't been all that involved with government before. How do you persuade them that they can make a difference by giving to a political action committee?
Yeah, that we found was a really big gap in West Michigan. I can't speak for, you know, Michigan as a whole, but there really was no kind of political voice that was taken by a lot of the folks that would come to Equity Drinks. This was a new space, and I think people were really hungry for it. As Danavia said, you know, when we first started, it was kind of this, you know, we have a pretty big network among ourselves. Can we start engaging people? And it grew so quickly, even before the election, and then after the election, with all the concerns about what's happening at a national level and the downstream results of that coming into our cities and counties. I think there's a lot of recognition that this is something that's needed at a local level because those politicians, the folks that we're trying to elect or hold accountable, are the people that are standing in between us and Washington, D.C., and they're the ones who are going to have to address the issues that are coming downstream.
Let me ask you this question. What are the priorities for Equity PAC?
So there's actually five priorities, and the first that we just launched last month is around diversity of government, immigration justice, police reform, affordable housing, and then voter education.
How'd you arrive at those five?
After the election, we really felt like it was time to regroup, given the fact that there was such a drastic turn in the national discourse. So we spent some time doing public meetings with our membership and also putting out surveys to get a sense of where were people's concerns given the national and the local environment, and those were the five that were emerged.
When you say local efforts, what levels of government are you primarily concerned about?
We focus on a couple of different levels. So the city of Grand Rapids, the county level, so Kent County, but also surrounding areas like Kentwood and the city of Wyoming as well. We're concerned about things like the diversity of government. So, for instance, the city of Grand Rapids, their government workforce is 90% white, even though that doesn't reflect the overall demographics of the city. And we have serious concerns about that.
What are the demographics?
Grand Rapids right now is currently around 60% white.
But the police force is 90% white.
Oh, yeah, the police force as well as the overall workforce for the entire city, actually.
Yep. And those are the kinds of demographic issues that are reminiscent of places like Ferguson, where the demographics of the city changed very rapidly and the city workforce didn't. And it creates all sorts of conflict points. And we're concerned about that. And we're seeing that at the county level. We're seeing that at the city level. And we're seeing that at different units of government surrounding the city. And so that's our first effort is how can we diversify not just the workforce, but also the governance. The county and the city alone have 500 appointed positions that we can see. There's no effort to diversify those different areas.
How will you go about selecting the candidates that you want to support?
What we started with was essentially making a candidate endorsement application. And the way that process has worked is originally a candidate emailed or even reached out to us and received the application. And it kind of serves as a little bit of a litmus test where we just kind of say, how do you feel about these key policy issues? And then also, how do you advance equity in your particular office? I think originally we wanted to, you know, see every candidate share all of our views in so many different buckets. We talked about criminal justice and the environment and healthcare and education. And then we realized that, you know, we got to make this applicable to the person applying for our endorsement. And so we essentially ask, how does your office advance equity? You know, if you're running for county clerk, then maybe we want to hear your views on voting rights. If you're running for the drain commissioner, we maybe want to hear your views on the environment, not as much on voting rights. And so that's kind of how we made that really applicable. And once they apply, the board gets together and we essentially just kind of look and see, you know, if over, you know, I'd say 80% of these responses kind of line up with what our expectations were. We don't vote to endorse you. You come before our membership at our membership endorsement meeting, and the members of Equity PAC vote yay or nay on endorsing you.
I hate to throw cold water on this whole issue, but given that other PACs are backed by really big money, contributions are reliably routine in politics from certain elements in our society, how much influence do you think you guys will really have?
I think we can have a lot of influence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that money gets you far, obviously, and especially at a national level. And to be clear, we are unapologetically about equitable outcomes. And we feel like November 4 was a big loss for this country. And a lot of that has to do with a long game of money at a local level. But we can definitely win the people game. You know, we really believe that where we see there is a large majority of people who are really, really concerned about what's happening in this community and happening across the country. They want voice. And it's about finding a collective voice to be able to speak into these issues and organize around them. What we want ultimately is candidates who, when they are faced with special interests that would be detrimental to the community, to go back to those special interests and say, I can't do this because I will get voted out of office, or my constituency will not allow this to happen. I'll hear from them. And that's the kind of accountability that we feel we can provide.
Tanavia, we'll give you the last word.
I think, like I said earlier, I definitely echo Jeremy's sentiment. When I think about the people that we bring to the table, I know for myself, I'm 23, I'm a woman of color. And so oftentimes in my circles, people feel like politics is too beyond their reach. There's this distance between them and the political government, the system, and it's just too difficult to understand. And joining something like a PAC seems so difficult. And I view Equity PAC as a really awesome entry point for those individuals. Maybe you start by just pledging 10 hours, and maybe you walk through your neighborhood and you talk to your neighbors about candidate that you met at the Equity PAC meeting who you really support. You know, maybe the next year you can give, or the next year you want to run for office. I see us also as a pipeline being developed, and I'm really excited about, you know, the work that we're doing and seeing the way our community has received our efforts.
That's Tanavia Mojay. She's treasurer of Equity PAC. We also heard from Jeremy Moore, who is co-chair. Equity PAC is based in Grand Rapids. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Lester.